Hello and welcome to the Magical Learning Podcast for this week. This week we're having our first ever two-part episode, and we were talking to Stu Saunders about why growing young leaders is so important. Stu is the founder and owner of YLCC, which is the Youth Leadership Camps Canada, as well as running the largest multi-day leadership conference in Canada for youth, which is the Ontario Student Leadership Conference. He's also been named one of the top 30 leadership trainers and facilitators in the world, a list that also includes Stephen Covey, Robin Sharma, and Tony Robbins. It's a great chat. I hope you enjoyed as much as we did. And as always, have a magical week. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Magical Pod... I'll start again.
We're very professional.
That's it. A good start. That was a good start.
Manamana.
That's it.
Nervous in the presence of royalty, Stu.
That's it. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Magical Learning Podcast for this week. As you've seen in the title, this is a guest podcast, which is very exciting. But before we get to them, let's check in on some of our regulars and see how they're going. So I might start up here for us that are watching the video here. Danette, how are you going this week?
Yeah, Jez, I've had a great week. I've been traveling most of the week. We got to catch up with John for dinner on Wednesday night and ran into someone that's done some of our courses and told us that we're the fun group. So that was awesome.
That is cool. Nice one. And Graham, how are you going this week?
I'm fantastic, Jez. Thank you. Yeah, similar reasons to Danette, and I'm in a warm office. So, yeah, that's pretty damn good.
That's it. Nice. John, how are you going this week?
Yeah, good. Very good, Jez. Danette, I think you treat him too well. But no, it's good. Got daughter home from Brisbane this weekend, so we've got a eldest boy's 30th on Saturday, which will be good to have all the family together. Having a great week.
Awesome. That's great, John. Al, how are you going today?
Oh, I'm going great. Thanks, Jez. Yeah, we've got some really rough weather up here at the moment. I'm not sure what it means, but they've even taken out the shark nets, so I'm looking forward to going down to the beach today and checking out some waves smashing against some rocks.
Wow. And maybe even some sharks. Who knows? And and Liv, how are you going? Liv, welcome to the ML podcast, first of all.
Thanks, Jeff.
That's all right. And how are you going this week?
Yeah, I'm really good, thanks. It's good to be able to join you guys finally. Looking forward to it.
Nice. And Stu, who we'll get to in a sec, how are you going this week?
I'm going great. I love that. How am I going? I'm going great. I'm absolutely fantastic. I'm great. I'm just
awesome.
Great.
Awesome.
Stupendous.
Nice one. Thanks for that, Stu. We'll find out a bit more about you in a sec, but let's first go to our ML recommendation. And today it is Graham. Graham, what is your ML recommendation for this week?
It was originally going to be coffee, given this is the earliest podcast that we've recorded, but then I thought that was a bit soft. So what I've actually gone with is a book titled Notes on Grief. The author, Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, and I apologize for mangling the pronunciation of that. If you happen to be watching or listening to this later on, it's not a big book. It's 88 pages, but it is it's a book she wrote after her father passed away. He was a scholar and lecturer at University of Nigeria, and Chimamanda's written a number of other books, but the language in this just blew me away. In an 88 page book, it's just astonishing, and I love the There's a journey, so the grief in her writing in the early days after she learns that the father's passed away is so raw and so intense. But then you can actually feel some of that emotion start to shift, and you can feel that through her writing. So the voice of her writing changes as the days, the weeks, the months, et cetera, go on after. So brilliant book, highly recommend. Notes on Grief.
Awesome. Thanks for that, Graham. And for those that want to read that one, the description will be in the podcast description, so you can go follow that and check it out. And that was our ML recommendation. Beautiful. Well, thank you so much for that. Now, it's time to jump in and meet our guest today. So, Stu Saunders is our guest, and we're so happy to have you, Stu. And today we're going to be talking about why growing young leaders is so important. But Stu, for people who are out there and may not know too much about you, would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Where do you want me to start? You want me to go way back? Like, it was the spring of 1970 and...
That's it, keep going.
Yeah, it was a beautiful March day. The world changed that day when I was born. That's, we can go back that far if you want.
We only have 16 hours of tape left on the reel, Stu, so go for it.
Love that. You know, Grandma, I love that you said tape on a reel. It just made my whole day. Because I get that, being a former broadcaster, I love that. Anyway, so I'm Stu, as you mentioned. I have been working with youth my whole adult life. I own and operate a summer camp that Liv has had the opportunity to be at and be part of our program here. We have people from all over the world that come to our camp and work and be part of it. So I've worked with and I've been a professional speaker for 30 years, primarily working with young people. In that time, worked with over 3 million youth and educators in the United States, Canada, and Europe. That's me in a nutshell. I'm a dad of 3 grown children. That's me and 2 grandchildren now. That's it.
Well, that's awesome, Stu. Thank you so much for that. We're so excited to have you on today. This is a real fun get. And so we actually may start. I think this is a great place to start. You mentioned that Liv's come and worked with you. So Liv, I might get you to ask your question first. So take it away. Why did you come up with this question? And then you can ask the question.
Well, I think given that I've been to camp and worked at camp and I know how the programs run, there's lots of different age groups, lots of different skills and traits that the campers are learning. And so my question, Stu, was what are the 3 most important skills or traits that our young leaders need to learn today, do you think?
It's interesting. Now, we also, as well as running the summer camp, run a series of different conferences and events. See, Graham actually is wearing his Global Student Leadership Summit jumper. Is that what we call a jumper? What we call a jumper? Is that what we call that? Am I right on that? Okay. So I just want to make sure I get the terminology right. The sweatshirt, but I would call it there. Anyway, sorry, Liv, I'll go to your question now. You should all know I have ADD and I will try and stay on topic, I promise. The 3 biggest traits I would say now are different than 3 different traits they were in 2019. In 2019, you asked this question, it would be completely different than it is now. The pandemic has completely reshaped young people's, they're everything. I can speak for the kids that I'm working with right now. And I actually posted something this morning about this on my Instagram. And the thing that I've found in the last year, since we've been running events again and working with young people again, is they have lost resiliency. They have lost the ability to problem solve themselves. They have lost the ability for conflict resolution. This is a blanket statement. Of course, there are kids who are doing great, and there are many who still do wonderful things. But overall, what I'm finding is the things I'm spending time retraining young people on, which I never thought about, was the ability to have confidence in themselves to make decisions that they just used to do. I used to think they would do without thinking about. And so now in 2022, I spend more time on resiliency, confidence, problem-solving skills. Those 3 things are just... self-esteem of young people has been really damaged in the last couple of years. And that's because they have been, you know, in different forms, depending on the part of the world they're in, but more or less, you've all gone through this together as a global community. And I think that young people, I've got kids here from Spain right now. I've got kids here from England. I've got kids here from Scotland here. I've got kids in the States. And it's a similarity between all of them. And I think it's interesting that they just don't have the ability. They look at me blankly now when I ask them things where I don't think they would have in the past. So those are my 3 things I'm seeing that they need it so much of that.
And do you think that's maybe because they haven't had as much of an opportunity to practice those skills coming out of lockdowns and out of, you know, from COVID?
Well, I think what I've seen and you know, I was, we work a lot with a university as we talked to the president this year, and he said this year's class of first year students class was the worst he's seen in 30 years. The dropout rate was the highest it's ever been. The people just not finishing full, just walking away from school, just dropping up, but not even finishing. The mental health issues are higher than they've ever seen in his 30 years. So I think it comes from the fact that we had 2 years of young people not being held accountable for a lot of things, because we couldn't test them properly. We couldn't, there was no metric to keep kids under. We didn't know, they weren't in schools. They weren't doing the same exams they were doing. They weren't doing the same. Just, it was all had changed so much. And if you had a good parent at home who was a stay-at-home parent that could help you with your online learning, great. If you had a great teacher who understood what technology was and could Zoom and could do all those different things, great. But a lot of kids didn't have that. They had parents who worked and they were left alone to figure it out at young ages. And I think that ability just, and because we couldn't manage that and we couldn't really enforce anything, we let the kids kind of, they lost their ability to do it and they had no one there to guide them. And I think that's the problem. Like, you just don't know what to do. And so I'm spending more time, even with my staff. They're young, they're 18, 19, 20, 21 years old. And I'm spending more time with them, like with saying like, well, what, you know, the answer to this, if you stop and think, you can figure this out. And look, I don't know. And it's because they were living with like, well, mom or dad or parent was there to solve it for them. And they didn't have a teacher because of online learning, forcing them to be accountable for their actions or their decisions. And because we were just trying to get through it, you know, we're trying to get through it. That's all, we just get through it. And I think that's a real problem. That's where it came from.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for that, Stu. Great answer and very interesting insight. I haven't really heard too much about that, so that was awesome. Thanks so much. I think a great follow-up question for that is probably Graham's. So Graham, I might throw to you maybe a little bit about your question and then what your question is.
Thanks, Jess. I actually think Stu's already answered the question. So my question really was sort of on the back of Liv's, was looking at what's changed in the last few years and in the context of how do you engage with young people around this idea of leadership. And So it sort of is a follow-up question. And you know, the question was literally what's changed in recent years in terms of how you engage with young people around this idea of leadership, and certainly following on from some of the things that you shared from Liv's question around the fact that resilience has gone, problem solved, so the confidence to even try something and be okay with not getting it right the first time seems to have vanished as well. So it sort of sounds like it almost, and I'm not sure if this is the right way to describe it, but it's almost like going back to basics.
It is. It is app. Can you hear me okay? I was a bit of a skip there in the video. It really is going back to basics. It really is. I sat, one of my directors sat with one of their staff today for 2 hours, basically having the conversation that you are capable of being creative without my guidance. You are capable of making this up if the schedule changes, if what we had planned, if something goes wrong, you have the ability, you can pivot, you can change, you can, and it's there. And there's looks of like, but can I, but can I? And these are great young people. These are kids who are, you know, in post-secondary education going on. This one person is wanting to be a doctor and is, you know, this someone who's very smart, but the confidence level is so small. So we're literally giving them small tasks to give them wins, to retrain them, to know that they actually can succeed to this. And then it's almost like we're having to validate their abilities. And I think there's a real concern inside of me that because of that, and I don't know if there's that training is happening out there, because I think there's been this big speed bump, and I worry about who's doing that training and if it's happening. And so I'm actually retraining like 20-year-old people who are in university to be able to problem solve. And that is an interesting, I've never done that before. It's going back to the basics, Graham, and it is really basics, pure basics, true basics.
Thanks, Jay.
I sound like a real downer, don't I?
No, it's just reality. It's actually a great discussion, and it's a discussion that needs to be out there, Stu. So it's actually really good.
Thank you. Yeah. Sugarcoating it doesn't fix it, makes it worse.
I was just going to say, you know, imagine if you're a young person now and you're hearing this and you're like, I'm not alone. It's not just me. Because a lot of them, I would imagine, are thinking it's them and then they're beating themselves up. So I actually think it's super important.
Yeah. And I think it's something that we're going to have to deal with as a in the corporate community as we hire new people. Yeah. And these young people are coming through to be the people who are going to run our companies. You know, how are they going to be able to run their companies and have management positions and have, you know, where are they going to learn that from? And the training that we're going to have to do, not only in that resiliency and that problem solving skills and that conflict resolution, as well as the idea of it requires hard work to be a success. And I'm not saying incredibly, like, I'm not nothing, just basic hard work. That's going to be interesting for as our corporate community grows and how they hire people. It's going to be an interesting thing to see.
Do you think there's, and I don't want to hog all the what's left of the tape on the reel, but how much of this do we, you know, when we're talking about training and how we re-educate kids to feel confident in taking risks, getting things wrong, learning from that, how much of this is a result of parents not allowing their kids to experience, to explore, to fail, to, you know, dust themselves up, get up and have another go? And is there a need for us to perhaps re-educate parents on how they create an environment in within which their kids are going to have more resilience, they're going to be able to problem solve, et cetera?
It starts 100% with parents. I mean, they're the front line of building great kids and great leaders. That's where it starts. And I think that we have so many parents, and I could go on for an hour and a half conversation with you about the families that we work with. And we do work with a lot of families as well in them removing obstacles for young people out of the kindness of their heart, they think they're doing the right thing. They think they're being kind. And, you know, and you've heard the term helicopter parents, you know, where they're always hovering over top of their children to make sure everything is okay. Well, we've gone from helicopter parents to lawnmower parents. Lawn mower parents are actually mowing the lawn in front of their children, so they don't even have to walk through tall grass. And in Canada, we call it curling parents because we're sweeping away as the rock goes down. But it is an interesting thing. I mean, when I hire somebody now, if I can hire somebody now, you get an agent with the hire now. So I get you hire the 19-year-old, and then I get their agent, and their agent is their parent. And so I'll do an interview with a young person. I don't do it, but someone will do an interview with a person here and we'll get a follow-up email. It's so great that you hired, you know, really great that you hired Jez, and he's really wonderful. And he's gonna love working for you, but just know he doesn't like fruit that falls from the left side of a tree. He doesn't like the mornings. He doesn't like getting up after, you know, before 8 a.m. He spends a lot of time on his hair, so he needs to have time for hair prep. He doesn't like when people get upset with him at all in any way, shape, or form. So please be gentle with him. He needs 3 hugs a day, and he needs 4. You're doing a great job at comments a day. You know, or it's not going to work. It's just not going to work for him. And no offense, Jess, I'm sure you're wonderful and amazing, and that's not you at all. But
no, you nailed him completely. Just
nailed him. Not.
But you do get an agent, and I mean, I literally had a conversation yesterday with my staff. We were talking because, you know, we're 2 weeks into our summer program, and Liv can attest, it's a busy program. We go 24/7 here, and we don't get days off. We just go. It's an exceptional job to do when you're working with these young people. But I said to them, remember when you were here and you came and you loved it? You're that person now. You've got to do that for other people. And they're just like, yeah, I just didn't realize it was gonna be hard. And you know what hard is? Hard's hard.
Yeah.
And so yeah.
That's it. No. Thanks, Stu. Thank you.
Yeah, and Stu, incredibly accurate about me. So that was hit the nail right on the head there.
Well, I was talking about your hair. Your hair is great, but I didn't want to pick on Alan or John.
Awesome. Well, speaking of
my hair.
That's it. So, well, actually, I think Al might be a perfect person to ask the next question, I think. So, Al, do you want to jump in with your question a little bit about it?
Thanks, Jez. Yes, Stu, my question is, are there some first steps that you'd recommend for young leaders today? And I'm even wondering, just listening to the conversation, maybe there's some first steps for parents to be taking instead of the young leaders.
Yeah, the greatest quote I've ever heard for parents to embrace is the worst thing you can do for your children is everything. Mm. And I think that's what parents need to embrace. You know, if I think parents need to allow their children to fail and fail hard and fail often. And I know it sucks because you don't want your kids to feel any sort of, you know, bad feelings. But nothing has been successful without failing first. And one of the things that we teach young people here at camp and in other programs that we run, and we bring speakers in to talk about it often, is that all the great successes, and they don't see this, right? Because young people see just the polished product often in sports stars and name the insert the person there. They don't see the failure that comes from behind the story. Because we don't talk, and they live in a society where Instagram, they often, you know, they post the TikTok, Instagram is the polished finish, they don't see all the failures. They don't see the work you got to get to the influencer level. And they just see that high end. So I think parents need to embrace failure. They need to allow their children to feel uncomfortable. They need to allow their children to you know, the greatest quote, I had a parent the other day I was talking to, and you know, they said to their parents, well, you figure it out. And I was like, oh my gosh, can I give you a trophy for that sentence? You figure it out. And, you know, you want to solve your problem for your children. You do. You don't want them to go through the problems, you know, but there's a difference in, you know, helping your children succeed and then just succeeding for them. There's a huge difference. And yeah.
I can really relate to what you're saying about in the homeschooling, where I fell into that trap of it was easier just to do the schooling for my child than it was to try and sit there and spend that time with them, letting them work it out.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're taking away things too. Like, you know, I remember, you know, in my education as a young person, here we are, a bunch of old people. No offense, Liv, you're not old at all. You know, we always have the stories of remember we did this and remember we did that. It was so different back then. And you know, I recently learned that in most school systems, they removed things like oral presentations or public speaking contests or requirements. Like, they've taken this away because young people, they say, well, they have anxiety. I can't speak in front of people. I can't do A, B, or C. And so rather than teaching them the tools to overcome that, we've just taken it away, you know, rather than saying, okay, yes, you're right. You know, the public speaking is the number one fear in the world. You know, number two is death. So, I mean, you'd rather be, as Jerry Seinfeld says, you'd rather be in the coffin than saying the eulogy. And so it is uncomfortable. So rather than us teach them the skills to overcome that, we just remove that from the equation. If I look behind me right here, I mean, like, I'll just show you, like, here it is right here. This is it. If you're watching this, this is my public speaking certification from fourth grade. There it is. This certifies that Stuart has made a special effort in public speaking. Yeah, 1980. There it is right there, friends. I wouldn't get this today because I wouldn't have this opportunity. And I knew in 1980 I was going to be a speaker. I was certified at 10. I was certified.
Well, thanks for that, Stuart.
You're welcome. But we need to let kids fail. We need to put them in opportunity, put them in situations where they're uncomfortable. We need to allow, not be there for them. We need not to pre-chew their dinner. We need to let them chew their own dinners.
The other big thing I'm hearing is for us is to be uncomfortable with the fact that they're uncomfortable.
Yes. Yes. I mean, you know, every generation wants their kids to have a better life than they had. You know, like, every parent wants, like, whatever they had, they want their children to have less of whatever, better or less of the troubles and more of what a good stuff. The problem is, it was easy. If you go back in time, you know, if you live through the Depression, it was easy to make your life better for your kids because the depression was really bad. If you lived through a world war, it was easier. Well, things aren't that bad right now. You know, I mean, we had a pandemic, but I mean, now it's like, you know, one child has the iPhone 12, one has the iPhone 13. Like, I mean, that iPhone 12 kid, that kid's going through some pretty tough stuff right now. He doesn't have the new iPhone 13. So I've got to get him that new iPhone because my gosh, the trails, that's the difference right now. So we just need to take away some of the ease.
I agree.
Thanks. And be okay with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you so much, Stu. So many good nuggets of wisdom here that I've been jotting down as well. I love that. I might throw this to John now. John, what was your question? Why'd you pick it?
Well, I think my question's very superfluous at the moment. I think Stu's covered it off and it was talking about how do you bring out the qualities of kids, you know, and what is holding them back. And Stu's talked about that. And since then, I've sort of been thinking of, well, what's the next question I would ask around that? And Stu answered that. And then the next one, and he answered that as well. And then he disparaged me by saying I don't have nice hair and I'm old too. I just point that out. But Stu, question I've got. So if this is all going on, what's it mean for the next generation that's coming through? You know, what's it going to look like, our leadership going into the future?
You know, we've all had these conversations, I'm sure. You know, I don't know. I don't know the easy answer, John. I think that we are in a place where we have we are developing a generation of young people, in part due to the pandemic, but we're developing a generation of young people who I think we're going to be. If we run businesses, if we're hiring our next wave, we're going to be in trouble. And I mean that sincerely. For example, in terms of camping, you know, in our camping in Ontario, I don't know, you know, camping is not a big thing in Australia as it is here in Canada where I live, but the idea of sending your kids away for a few weeks to just be on their own, learn how to brush their teeth on their own, learn how to change their clothes on their own, learn how to pick their clothes out on their own, learn how to, you know, eat on their own. You know, my favorite thing is when a parent picks up their, and then we have no technology at camp. As you could tell, I'm being late for this interview. We have no technology, no phones. We have nothing like that. We're completely unplugged. I have parents who are shocked when they pick up their children after 2 weeks and they immediately hand their phone back to them when the child says, no, that's okay, mom. I don't want it. I don't want it right now. And I think there's less and less of places like this. You've got adults paying money to go to retreats where they take away their phones from them, forcing them to be for 2 or 3 days in a beautiful resort where, you know, they got to be, they're forced just to drink wine and swim, but not check Instagram. I'm being a little bit facetious here, but the point of the matter is that we need some sort of a reset for young people. I don't know how that happens. I don't know how we do it. It's a global crisis. It's not anything that is in Canada, or the United States, or Australia, or England. It's a global crisis for young people. And I think we spent so much time making sure our kids are comfortable that when we come to running a business, when we have to solve problems and we have to think creatively I don't know what we're going to do. That's why things, places like this and events that I run like this, and many people do, are integral. But also we've also somehow accepted the fact that, you know, this Zoom call is wonderful for doing things like this. It's incredible. But we've also somehow said it's also a great way for kids to get together online and have virtual events. And the virtual events are nice, but they will never, ever replace organic human contact. No. It just won't. No matter how great your background is or how wonderful your connection is or what platform you're using or if it's three-dimensional avatars, it will never, ever make the same contact as being in a room with someone and connecting with them organically. And kids need that, the conversation skills, social skills. And that only comes from being together with other kids.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. As my kids were growing up, I remember the kids talking about their friends online and they've got 300 friends or they got 200 friends. And you'd ask the question of how many of those do you actually know anything about? And it's all of them. No. Hang on. And you dig into that. None of them, you know, or a handful of them. Shit, I don't even have a handful of friends. No one likes me. But, you know, it's just what
it is. Come on, John, I think you're great.
No. But just the acceptance that you get a like on a social platform and suddenly they're your friend. You know, it's that terminology, and that we've got to change our terminology around that.
The three things I tell parents all the time, I suggest to them to do is, first off, stop being an Instagram parent. And what I mean by that is stop posting your kids' lives on social media. I mean this sincerely. I'm so passionate about this. Stop posting your kids' lives on social media. Stop trying to outdo your friends' kids' lives. Let your children be children. Let them experience things. There was a great quote I used to love that said, the best things happen when there's no camera around. Well, that quote doesn't exist anymore because there's always a camera around, right? And I think that we document things, and kids are so superficial in the fact that they delete the things that don't look good enough for social media. Yeah. And I, gosh, parents, like, just stop it. Please stop it. Like, Facebook, Instagram, insert social media platform, that will come up next. But please do allow your kids to be kids. Stop documenting it. And please know that every time you document a photo, you're literally giving your kids' lives to Meta and to these, or you're giving them their lives. You're giving them every photo, every action, every like, every dislike. And it is not a healthy thing for them to see and do. The second thing I tell parents is, please carve time out of your lives, especially if you have teenagers, but please carve time out of your lives to be without technology. Find time to take your kids to places that are green and blue. And by that, I mean forests and water and places that are not, you know, I would love for parents to say, like, we went to this amazing place, we took no photos, but we've got them up here. Yeah. This is where they are, the memories, right? Like that's and the third thing I would tell parents to do is stop micromanaging your children's lives. Allow your kids to, as we said, fail, but also allow your kids, like, I have kids who get picked up here and then the parents say, we got to go because we got to go to the next thing, the gymnastics class, we got to go to the pottery workshop, we've got, like, oh my gosh, when is your child a child? When is your child ever just do nothing? When do we say, you know, we all grew up with your parents, well, just go outside and play.
Yeah.
Right. And that's where problem solving comes in. That's where creativity comes in. That's where pretending creates new businesses and new ideas. That's where entrepreneurship is born. Yeah. It's born from the kid in the backyard saying, let's create a carnival in our backyard and invite our friends to come and play at 20 games that we made, instead of the kit you bought online from Amazon that does it all for you. And so those things they cost nothing. The best tools for your kids cost nothing.
Yeah.
It costs absolutely nothing. And we're so scared that our kids don't have the latest technology or latest tool that we're not letting them just, that's why camp is amazing, because these kids play from 7 a.m. to 10 o'clock at night without any technology, and they're dirty and they're gross. They don't shower. And the parent says, you know, do you have Yeti in Australia? The Yeti water bottles. No. You ever heard of this? They're a super expensive water bottle. They keep everything ridiculously cold. They're very, very good. They're wonderful products. But I have parents, like, sending their children to camp with a $145 water bottle, concerned that their friend has the same water bottle. And I'm saying, just send your kid with a plastic sports thing that you had when you were, you know, with gross chewed off ends. And I don't know, like, my point is, like, just allow your kids to be, stop keeping up with the Joneses.
I think it's great advice. I think it's brilliant advice. Get out there and play in the dirt.
Yeah. And then, and give, and sorry, I don't know if I almost swore it. I probably can't swear. Sorry. But I almost said, give a shit about what your kids are doing in the fact that who they're following online socially. Don't, like, I always think parents are like, oh my gosh, my child is, young people, my child is on Instagram all the time. I got to figure out how to get them off Instagram. Please know that Instagram is the least of your worries. The other stuff your kids are surfing, like the stuff you have access to on a phone that you give your kids freely to be in bed with at night, at 2 o'clock in the morning is don't be afraid to say no to your child, to set boundaries and be a parent.
Yeah, no, great advice. Thanks, Stu. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks.
As I mentioned at the start of this podcast, there's still plenty of this podcast left. So much so that we had to split it into two parts. So the next part will be coming next week. So hopefully you enjoyed that. And as always, as I just mentioned, have a magical week and get ready for part 2 next Friday.